chapter 9. I'll be there several minutes from now. I'm on this series here called Postured. And again, I really believe that the Spirit of God was speaking to my heart about how He's getting us postured for different things to be able to pounce on, to be able to break loose and see things break loose in our lives. I want to speak this morning here on a thing called Postured for Gratitude. And let's realize again that this probably the most powerful word among all the character words that can be named is the word gratitude. Character development is something that I believe all believers need to hear more and more about, because we're living right now in a time and a season where people are having less and less role models about what godly character really is all about. And God is wanting to promote us. He's wanting to bless us in so many ways, in natural and supernatural ways, both on the earth. But we do some things sometimes ourselves to short-circuit what God can do through us because of some things in our own character, perhaps, that He wants to tweak and bring to a finer tuning, okay? So I'm going to be speaking this morning here in a countercultural type way. This goes against the grain of the culture of the day, not just for America, but also even around the world in many ways. But please take some notes down, write some things down perhaps, and we'll just have a chance here to see what God will take and use this for today to bring gratitude even more so to the forefront in our lives. Martin Luther King years ago had that famous speech that was called, I Have a Dream. In that speech, he said there, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skins, but by the content of their character. I'm not sure just how popular Martin Luther King would be actually today in the year 2016 saying words like that in the culture of today, because many times today we hear the exact opposite of that, that character is not really all that important, whereas this man was saying character really is all important to become and be the people that God wants us to be upon the face of the earth. Every day of our lives, people are assessing us, looking at us, sometimes even judging us by what they're seeing our actions are, our speeches, our words are. Does our life line up with our speech? And if we serve Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, are they seeing the true Jesus actually coming out of us as we live and move and have our being on the face of the earth? An executive in business who's actually very, very wealthy, very successful. This man is actually an employer over thousands of employees in his corporation. He was asked by a pastor, what do you see among people in your corporation that causes some to rise and causes some to fall? This man said, I see myself, all people have got problems they bring with them in the workplace. If their problems are actually hooked up to or associated with their character, I see very little hope for them for advancement in the corporate world. But if not, if they have problems not hooked up with their character in negative ways, I see there's total room for advancement in them, and they can rise to the top, and they can succeed in the realms of corporate America in this day and in this hour. One myth about character says character is formed in our childhood, and whatever we did in our childhood, we're set like that for life. I think we saw this morning here by the young people's testimonies that is not the case as far as God is concerned. The one who begins a good work in us, the Bible says, completes that work through Jesus Christ. So though we have very, very poor or very shallow character perhaps in our younger years, the Holy Spirit working inside of us can change our very nature, change our very character, help us make better decisions in life. We become more and more like God is. As we draw near to Him, He draws near to us, and we find ourselves becoming more like He is. Is that true? And so your character of your younger years does not always define your older years, because God is not finished with us, and there's always room for improvement in our lives. Amen. We can identify about 20 character traits that exist in humankind. Some of those include things like honesty, like loyalty, and like consistency. But today is about probably the most important character trait there is, and that again is the character trait that is called gratitude. We hear about gratitude many times in Thanksgiving settings there and Thanksgiving messages. It's very, very important, of course, to talk about being thankful and giving thanks for that. But this word actually goes beyond that Thanksgiving message as well. All of us realize every day we live on the earth, our lives are open to public consumption. We put our best foot forward every day among folks around us, and what they see sometimes in the spotlight is not who we really are many times behind the scenes. What are we like 500 miles away in a hotel room totally by ourselves when nobody's watching us at all except for God Himself? That is what defines character in our lives. Not what we are in the public eyes, or what are we like behind the scenes when nobody is watching us. What is a true person like in us? That's the one that God works with. That's the one that God molds and God shapes. That's the one that God wants to display in due time for his glory, to draw many people to Jesus Christ also in their lives. You might think that character, again, this character trait is kind of a passive trait, the thing called gratitude. The fact is, I found time and time again, nothing is more active or important in your life to be there than the thing that's called gratitude. When people don't see that in your life, they tend to shy away from you. They tend to resist you. It goes right along with a thing called pride and arrogance. And God's word even says that God resists the proud himself, but he gives grace to the humble. Those of a grateful heart are those of a humble heart. And being humble means I accept the supply of folks around me. And I do, like Carlos said this morning here from the word of God, I see others as even better than myself. And I see myself also as a servant of all the folks around me, knowing by being like that, I'm going to receive the greatest reward myself, because I can't outgive God, and I'm going to sow many people around me, and then folks are going to sow back into my life also in due time if I'll obey what God says. If you're a person of gratitude, you're on the way to the top. The opposite of gratitude is what we're going to talk about also today quite a bit, and that is the word entitlement. Entitlement is a total opposite of gratitude. It takes you to a path that actually goes nowhere. If you look at the great men and women of the Bible, in the Old Testament, New Testament, there you're going to find one common thread among all the great women and men of God, and that is they were, every one of them, people of extreme gratitude. They were thankful. They gave thanks. Their lives were full of thanks. They were gracious people full of gratitude. And God can use people who give thanks to him every day of their lives, because they're people whose hearts are full of grace and full of gratitude every day of their lives. The Bible tells us that gratitude is powerful because it helps us go back to a thing called manufacturer's setting. When you buy a vehicle or you buy an appliance in your house, a great big dollar item there, they have a thing that's called in the factory manufacturer's setting. When God made Adam and Eve back in the Garden of Eden, he gave them a thing called manufacturer's setting. He said, this is what I want all mankind to mirror like and be like from this generation on, is like Adam and Eve is when I made them back in the Garden of Eden. The sad fact was, though, Satan comes in. The tempter tempts them successfully. What's the first thing that Satan does to Eve? He says to him, you are entitled to have more than what God has given you. They should have began their lives full of thanksgiving, gratitude every day, saying, thank you, God, for all the trees around me, all the fruit I have to eat. I don't need the fruit you say not to touch. But Satan says, you are entitled to everything on the face of this planet, including the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eat that fruit, because God knows when you take and eat that fruit, you'll be like he is, knowing good from evil, having all knowledge yourself. That same spirit is working today and all across the entire world, a spirit that's called entitlement. Okay? You probably heard time and again also, the secret for success is having a positive attitude. The secret to being a failure is, of course, having a negative attitude. You probably might agree with a word like that yourself. But positive and negative attitudes do not cause success or failure in themselves. Rather, they are results of something more fundamental. And that is, those with a gracious heart, they cannot help but be positive. Those with a heart full of entitlement, they cannot help but be negative people. Have you seen that in life? Those that are full of gracious hearts, that are full of gratitude, they're positive every day they live on the earth. They say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll be rejoiced and be glad this day. Those who are full of entitlement, every day they always see the bad side of life. They see what is owed to them. They see negative things around them. God wants to change our perspective. Let us realize again, we're to be people who are full of gratitude and see the positive things, the God things around us that are all around us every day of our lives. Can I hear an amen from that? Like I said a few weeks ago, we're going to all wake up some days having what we call a bad day. It may be from a sickness. It may be from a bad report on our bank account. It might be a demotion at work, or it might be a grouchy person next door to us. But every day, some days we wake up and we find ourselves having a bad day. I want to encourage you this morning here, when you kind of sense a bad day is coming your way, try to find out there's something to be grateful for, even in the midst of bad things around you. And you can turn those bad days into good days when you find yourself saying, I'm going to find something good about my adverse circumstances with God's help in Jesus' name. You know, I might remind myself some days, when I sense a bad day is coming on my own life, I might remind myself back at 8 years of age, God saved my life by not drowning in that pool in Wichita, Kansas, when it was a total miracle. They saw my head bob up for one split second. At the right place, the right time, a girl comes over and saves my life from drowning way back then. I could remind myself every day about also how my own daughter, Sarah, is alive today as a youth pastor with Nate and married, because back in the year 2007, facing a tremendous operation to stop bleeding in her body, they all were saying there, she may surely die this day, but God chose to spare her life, heal her kidneys, heal her organs, and bring her back to the land of the living once again, as only God could do. I remind myself there's things to be thankful for to God every day on this earth. Though bad days may come, remind yourself there's things to still rejoice about. And by setting yourself to do things like that, rejoice instead of giving complaints and giving gripes and so forth, you'll find that God will start turning things around in your own soul, your own will, your own emotions. You start finding yourself lining up with God's nature and God's character and not your own flesh when you do things like that. Amen? I'm saying do that more and more. The invasion of gratitude will reset you back to manufacturer setting, back to Adam and Eve before the fall. If you'll get your heart set to say, I will be a person full of gratitude and thanksgiving in Jesus' name. The Wall Street Journal, we all love Wall Street Journal, amen. It's a great source of information. They do have surveys they do that are accurate sometimes, many times. One survey they did was a 10-year study on the benefits of gratitude. A 10-year study on the benefits of gratitude. They found that adults who are grateful have more energy, more optimism, more social connections, and more happiness in their lives. They're less likely to be depressed, to be envious, to be greedy, or to be substance addicts in their lives. They sleep more soundly, they exercise more regularly, and they have less viral infections invade their lives, those whose hearts and minds and mouths are full of thanksgiving and gratitude. Isn't that enough right there? Amen. One more study also said, was done for kids, the same type thing was done. Those kids who feel grateful, they said they're less materialistic, they get better grades, they set higher goals, they have fewer stomach aches, and they have less headaches also in their lives. Among children and among kids, they're actually full of gratitude and thanksgiving in their lives. It's not just the Bible. This shows that people who are grateful have better lives than those who feel enabled in their lives somehow, some way, entitled. What does it mean to be grateful? Most of us have seen the example of the person in high school who was actually given the real fancy sports car for free by the parents. They saw the other kid, perhaps, who worked and slaved at McDonald's or Jack in the Box or grocery stores or whatever else, and they saved their money up, and they bought their first car cash or on payment somehow, some way. And we've seen time and again how the person who's given things all their lives on a silver platter rarely takes really good care of that item or that product. Their car goes downhill very fast. It seems like it's full of dirt and scratches and dents, and they have wrecks and tickets and so forth. But the guys who they can save their money up, and they work and they work and they work, and they get the thing bought themselves by their own sweat of their own brow, they polish that car, they take care of the interior, they get tune-ups that are done, oil changes done, they make sure the car is smelling good, looking good almost all the time in their lives, because they know the price they paid for that vehicle. One does not appreciate things they do not take and sow into their heart, their sweat, their tears, or lies many times. And that word appreciation is a word that means, again, for us to hold value to things we've worked for in our lives and then appreciate that also in great ways for us. When you sell your house one day, they'll have an appraiser come out, and the appraiser determines the worth of your home. That same root word comes from the word appreciate, determining the worth of what is actually in your own hands in your life. If you look at the word appreciate again, tear it down sometime, God is telling us there are things around us, our husbands, our wives, even God himself, to be appreciating on an ongoing basis and see the worth that God has put in them towards us in our lives. I appreciate in a self-serving way that verse there again, to appreciate your leaders. Amen. Because again, our youth pastors, our children's ministers, our nursery leaders, those leading over the ushers and so forth in this church, they have a yoke upon their backs. The Bible says it's easy, but it takes some oxen to be alongside that yoke and pull that yoke along to make sure the plow stays straight and the field gets plowed. Amen. We all need helpers and workers and volunteers around us to help make that yoke become functional in things we do that God calls us to upon the earth. Let's look now at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 14 and 15 as well are very, very good verses to read about this. And it says, and by their prayers for you, the saints were praying for the Corinthians, there were other cities, by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift in your life. He was saying these people outside of Corinth, other believers, other cities, were actually giving thanks and praise every day for what God was doing among the Corinthian church. And God is saying, are you doing that yourself? Are you giving thanks for what God's doing in your brothers and your sisters, the body of Christ, and trying to encourage you? But also, are you giving thanks every day for the salvation that's come to you by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? That is enough in my life every day to get me lit, like the youth are saying here today, in the things of God, is that Jesus Christ laid his life down for me. If I called upon his name like I did back at age 11, I am saved. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am born again. My spirit man that was dead is now alive, and I'll be with him forever and evermore in a glorified body, doing the will of God for all eternity in Jesus' name. That's enough for me every day to be excited, be happy, be joyful, no matter what I'm facing in life. It's all temporal, it's all short, it's all quick. It will not define my life for eternity in Jesus' name. So be glad for salvation. Realize that Jesus Christ is too wonderful for words. This reality will also affect the way you worship God. When you come into a place like this on a Sunday morning, do you really have a time of vibrant worship to God? Because that only comes from people whose hearts are full of thanksgiving for what God has done for them. I can worship God and praise God sometimes with tears coming down my face because I know what God has done for me through his Son, Jesus Christ. I know he's worthy of praise. I know he's worthy of worship. I want to praise him. I want to bless him. I want to love the Lord my God. And I encourage you guys, you come in here and praise God on a Sunday morning like this. Think about what God has done for you when you praise him, when you worship him, because he is worthy of praise and worthy of worship. Amen? The way you take care of your family is also about how you appraise them, how you see them, the way you take care of your own spouse, your own children, your own car, your own household, your own job. Those are all reflections of what is in your heart in thanksgiving towards them. I'm praying to you, for you guys right now that have been married now for 10, 15, 20, or 30 years. Don't ever take your spouse for granted. Give thanks that God put you guys together years ago. And praise God for all the good things that take place in your life because you have the right wife and the right husband in Jesus' name. Praise God for your kids. Your kids might be right now making mistakes all the time. It does not define their lives forever. They are being molded by God's Spirit. They're being changed by God for the better. God's going to do great things through them in due time. He's not doing it yet. He will be. Amen. I'm saying find something to praise God and thank God for in your kids' lives also with God's help and God's grace. Let me try to fasten this thing to my belt so we don't get the boom, boom, boom little orchestra playing while I'm trying to talk up here. Little African orchestra. We don't need that today. All right. Put those Zulus to rest right there, I hope. Okay. Our culture is actually immersed in entitlement. You got to realize that. We see commercials every day that says, buy this product because you deserve it. Amen? Even bad driving is caused by folks that are full of entitlement. We find sometimes right here in the Round Rock, Austin area, that sometimes there's some lanes that go from this lane that says, merge because right lane ends ahead. Folks that are entitled do what? they pass about 10 cars and then try to squeeze in way up the road there, because in their brain they're saying, I pay the same taxes you pay. I'm entitled to cut in front of all these cars and cut some folks off, make them ram their brakes on, that I might squeeze in here with my own grace. Amen. Now, I don't do that. Amen. I don't do that. Cheryl, I don't cut in front of folks like that. I'm saying entitled people do entitled things, and our whole culture reeks of that. And we have many youth around us as well today that are like that themselves, and God is saying that is not the culture of the kingdom of Almighty God. Love others like you love yourself. See others as better than yourself, and realize the world, the earth, is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So handle the world like God would, not like your brain or your flesh would. Amen? Understand that. So let's look now at three important thoughts about gratitude, three things to write down, take home notes here, take home points. Number one is this. Gratitude is not connected to circumstances. Gratitude is not connected to circumstances. Many people are saying to themselves, if I had blank, I would be thankful. If I had a better car, I'd be thankful. If I had a different husband or wife, I'd be thankful. If I had a better job, I'd be thankful. If I had better government leaders, I would then be thankful. What God is saying to us, though, is thankfulness comes to us from the heart. And thankful people are people full of gratitude. No matter what they have in circumstances, they live in thanksgiving and gratitude regardless of adverse circumstances in their lives. The United States is the most blessed nation on the face of the earth that probably has ever existed. It really is. Many people in poorer lands, when I go to Myanmar, to Burma, do mission trips there in the past couple of years, those little kids, little orphan boys and girls, what do they want from me? When I do face painting, they want me to put the American flag on their forehead because they think that America is like heaven. Most third world poor nation people think America is like heaven. The average wage around the world is $100 a month. A month. And so we are a very, very blessed, very prosperous nation that has all to be thankful for by what God has done to bless this country. Amen? We actually think that yesterday's luxuries are actually today's necessities. For example, back in 1900, less than 10% of Americans owned a stove, had access to electricity or a telephone. 1900. In 1915, less than 10% of Americans owned a car. In 1930, less than 10% of Americans owned a refrigerator or a washing machine. In 1940, less than 10% of Americans owned a clothes dryer or air conditioner. Have pity on all the Texans back then. Amen. In 1960, when I was actually a two-year-old boy, less than 10% of Americans had a dishwasher or color television, and color TVs were $1,000 back then. In 1975, less than 10% in our nation had a microwave oven. In 1990, less than 10% of Americans had cell phones or access to the internet. Today, over 90% have all these things as Americans in this nation. Amen? Yet the Gallup polls found that we are number 33 in the world in being happy as a nation. We're number 33 down the list. Though we have all these things and conveniences and things we want to have as luxuries, we have all the stuff, we're number 33 in the world in happiness as a country. 7 of the top 10 happy countries are actually in Latin America, where there's drug cartels, rampant violence, and tremendous poverty. Yet they're in the top 10 of happy people on the face of the earth. You got to realize it's not our circumstances that makes us happy people on earth. It is the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's God's nature working in us that brings joy that is unspeakable, not based on happenings or happiness in our lives. You see that? Having more does not equal gratitude in your life. One more study compared lottery winners to accident victims who suffered paralysis from their accident. Lottery winners versus paralysis victims in accidents, okay? Initially, as expected, those who suffered paralysis were sad people. Those who won the lottery were very, very happy, joyful people. But as the months and years and days were going by, they found that the people winning the lottery on the whole were less and less happy in life. But those who were victims and paralyzed were actually more happy than they were. And the very strange thing they found also was the way these guys actually got happy during shopping was the guys who were paralyzed were much more happy shopping than folks that had won the lottery were as time was going by in their lives. God is saying again, things and stuff and money and circumstances do not bring true contentment and peace into your life. We've seen many multimillionaires that are very, very famous people that are totally miserable in their lives. And God is saying it takes His power, His grace, His Spirit in us to bring that contentment and joy that God wants to bring. Okay? So, you might be saying, well, I could feel grateful if my husband would just straighten up, or if my kids would just behave better in my family, or if people would just take and treat me better on or at my workplace. These are all noble things to want in life, but you got to realize again, they do not make you grateful in your life. Gratitude comes from having a heart changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Either you are a grateful person or you are not. One or the other. You choose yourself. Will I be grateful or will I be entitled in this life? Look now at also on the screen here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 28, or verse 18, I'm sorry. Very popular verse says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now notice again there, it does not say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 2 weeks ago, South Africa, the church we ministered in there for four or five years, Cheryl's Home Church, Durban Christian Center, they built a very, very fabulous domed 5,000-seat sanctuary that burned to the ground 3 weeks ago. Burned to the ground. Electrical failure took place. Renovations were going on. Wires got crossed. The whole place burned to the ground. Pastor Fred Roberts, in his early 80s, just turned 80, I think, a few months ago, goes out there and sees the smoldering ashes with his wife of the building they built over 12, 15 years ago. He sees the embers of the flames going all over the Durban area. Fred Roberts says these words, these embers represent all the souls that God will still be touching through this place in Jesus' name. He had no sadness, he had no tears, he had no fears, he had no anger, he had no animosity there. He said, God is bigger than this fire is. It's only a building, it's only a tool, the church still remains. They meet right now today in a tent on their grounds. They will rebuild that building again as time goes by as well. But I'm saying a person with a grateful heart, you cannot keep them down. Because God is working in them in faith and power and victory, regardless of all the adverse circumstances in their lives. Amen. Number two is this. Write this down. Number two, entitlement will make you miserable. Entitlement will make you miserable. Luke chapter 15, the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, of course, is the guy that received the inheritance early from his father. His own brother stayed back there and worked for his own dad. But the prodigal son takes the dad's inheritance, runs off to Las Vegas, gambles, has prostitutes, blows all of his money, loses all he has, find himself finally eating the pods of corn in the pig pen in the slop house. He comes to his senses and says, even my father's servants eat better than this. I'll go back to my father and maybe he'll give me a few kernels of grain or some bread to eat at least if I go beg for him for mercy when I go back. He goes back to his father. The Bible says his dad sees him afar off. He kills the fattened calf, puts a ring on his finger, a robe on his back, and says, my son who was lost is now found. He's now come back. Kill the fatted calf. Let's party and rejoice. Who was lost is now found and has come back into the household. Praise be to God. The story goes on now in chapter 15 of Luke, verses 25 through 30, and says this. Now the older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked, what are these things? What do they mean? He said to him, your brother has come, And because he's received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry, and he would not go in. Therefore his father came and pleaded and begged with him. So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. One version says, I have slaved for you. I never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat to eat that I might make merry with my friends. But it says, as soon as this son of yours came, who devoured your livelihood with the harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. This sign the son was carrying that day in protest, it said this, I deserve it, and you didn't give it to me. Entitled people have a sign they carry every day around above their head. I deserve it, and you did not give it to me. That's the motto of entitled people, and God says that sign needs to come down in Jesus' name. This sign is carried by people in their marriages. It's carried to the workplace. It's carried by their children sometimes in society. I deserve it. I'm going to get it, and you didn't give it to me. And God is saying that sign needs to come down. There is injustice done on the earth. There is things that are very, very bad take place to people's lives, but it does not entitle us for anything on the earth. Because Jesus Christ himself suffered many injustices. He could have been entitled to call angels down and destroy the entire world on the cross. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he gave thanks. He could lay his life down for the sins of many 2,000 years ago. Praise God for Jesus. The question we must ask ourselves today is this. Even if our claim is legitimate, do we really want to be miserable in life? Even though your claim is legitimate, injustice, unfair treatment, abuse, it's all true. Do you really want to go through life miserable because you're entitled? Because entitled people are miserable people in life. Number three, write the rest of it down. Number three is this. Realize also in the story of the prodigal son, who's the one person who did not enjoy the party that day? The older son. He sat out there feeling sorry for himself, griping, complaining, pouting, and bickering. And he had no party fun that night. He was miserable. Number three says, the key to gratitude is faith that God is at work. That's the key. People won't treat you right sometimes. We are imperfect people dealing with imperfect people around us. Anytime you depend upon a person for your happiness, your well-being, and your security, you're giving that person too much power in your life. Notice the older son says what to his dad? He says, I slaved for you all these years. What he said was, I made myself a slave. I let you own me. What you did for me made me happy or sad on the earth. And God says, let no man or woman have that kind of power over your life. Only God can handle that kind of power over your life. Amen? Let no rich uncle, no rich granddad, grandmother, no powerful mother, father, mentor have that kind of power over your life that you become their slave. We're only a slave to God, to the Lord, because he can actually handle that in your life. God's promise in Romans chapter 8 says this, God will work all things together for the good for those that are called by him according to his purposes. He'll work all things together for your good. When you look at Joseph's life in the Old Testament, back in the book of Genesis, the Bible says that Joseph suffered much injustice. His own brothers sold him into slavery. And the Bible says the Ishmaelites came. They saw him while he was in a pit there. They're going to kill Joseph because he had a coat of many colors on his back that made him very, very jealous. They said, let's go ahead and kill our brother. Then they saw the Ishmaelites coming along as a party. They said, no, let's sell him for some money and make some cash, lest we just kill him and get nothing from the transaction. So the Ishmaelites, they come, pull him out of the pit, take him off to a place in Egypt. And the Bible says there in Egypt, they could have sold him to some real scoundrels, but somehow by God's grace and God's goodness, Potiphar, a chief officer, a kind man, a good man, bought Joseph and brought him into a palace with all the palatial surroundings around him. Of course, as time goes by, his wife likes Joseph, has a lustful problem. gets him thrown in prison, says, this guy tried to attack me, tried to make sport of me, tried to pick up on me. She was lying her head off because Joseph had kept his integrity and would not sleep with her. He finds himself in a prison being thrown in jail unjustly. And there for many, many years, he uses his giftings and callings to bless the people in the prison. Where finally, as time goes by, he becomes second in command over all the prison as a prisoner. And in due time, Pharaoh has a dream, and they say there's a guy in prison named Joseph who can interpret your dreams about the skinny cows and the fat cows. And they bring Joseph out and make him second in command over all of Egypt. And he saves that nation and he saves Israel from starvation by what he actually had them do for 7 years to store up the grain in the fat years of his life. What I'm saying here is Joseph could have had a bitter, entitled spirit and said, listen here, I was wounded by my own brothers, thrown into a pit and almost killed by them. I have a right to be bitter and angry and want revenge. But then we said, I'm so grateful that there was a pit that was there that delayed the process, and God sent some Ishmaelites along, and they rescued me and got me out of the pit into the place called Egypt. Egypt, because said, oh man, now, look how God is so unjust and so mean. He's allowed me to actually have a woman, a Jezebel, lie about me, get me thrown into prison for many, many years now. How can a good God do that to a person like me? But no, what Joseph said was, praise God. That man could have cut my head off and killed me, but he spared my life. And in jail, I won converts. I prophesied. I interpreted dreams. I did good things there because in that prison, as time went by and the famine was going to come, the Pharaoh had the dreams. The right time, the right season, I interpreted his dreams. And he pulls me out of the prison. He could have cut my head off himself, but he did not do that. He put me a second in command over all of Egypt there. Look what God has done. Four times, Joseph goes through tremendous injustice, unfairness, and evil things. And four times, Joseph says, I give praise and thanks to my God. Look at what good things God has done for me to save many lives. His own brothers come to him, and he's second in command, and they're begging for their own lives now. And Joseph says to them, don't condemn yourselves. What you meant for evil, God has turned to the Romans 8 good, as only God can do. People of a grateful heart cannot be brought down by adverse circumstances. They'll always find the God thing in bad things around them with God's help. As James comes back to the platform to help me out here, James, please. I want to say here as we play here softly, just to have a time to pray in a moment about God and instilling more gratitude perhaps in our lives as well. And God helping us to see all entitlement broken off our own hearts and lives with God's help and God's Spirit. One last story that's a true story from a Georgian African-American lady in her 70s. In a church in Georgia, African-American church, the pastor says, this woman, she would take and she would pray every single Sunday the same prayer. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. They call her a prayer and she'd pray and say, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Months are going by, years are going by. The youth are starting to laugh and snicker. This lady, all she can pray is, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. The pastor finally pulls her into his office and says, ma'am, why is the only prayer you can speak or know is, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus? That's all you ever pray. She goes, well, because I live in a very, very rough neighborhood, and there's all kind of gangs and warfare around me every single night. I hear bullets going past my windows and pinging off the side of my house many evenings. I got little bitty kids in my own house living there. And I go to bed at night, I say, oh, Lord, and I hear the bullets around me. I wake up in the morning and I say, thank you, Jesus, because they're still alive. Then I see my kids go off to the bus stop, my grandkids. There's a very, very dangerous place, dangerous neighborhood. I'm not sure what will take place in my kids' lives that day. Very dangerous school, very dangerous bus stop area. And I say, oh, Lord, as I see them leave my house for the bus stop. When they come back at 3:30 every day, I say, thank you, Jesus. Only prayer I ever known in my life is, oh, Lord. Then I say, after a pause, I say, thank you, Jesus, because I see how good God has been in my life. She probably prays better than I pray, because she knows the heart of God, the heart of gratitude, the heart of thanksgiving, and says, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. God's a God who answers prayer. When we can't handle adverse circumstances, gratitude will give us a place to reset and go back to manufacturer's setting, the way Adam and Eve were back in the Garden of Eden before the fall, and be like God is. Let's bow our head and close our eyes right now in prayer. Let's pray today, perhaps, that the Holy Spirit would work inside of our lives and our hearts to be people of gratitude, of thanksgiving. Because this again, is a very, very countercultural message. Our culture says you are entitled because you can vote, you pay taxes, you pay property taxes, you pay insurance, you are entitled to all kind of benefits that you should not be taking, though, because you're actually infringing on people around you and showing yourself better than they are because we feel entitled in life, and it creates misery in us. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed right now for privacy's sake only, I'm going to ask this morning, first of all, is anybody here today, your heart perhaps is not right with God? Maybe you don't even know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. The Bible says very plainly we must be born again. And a very wise, genius man in Nicodemus asked Jesus, what do you mean by born again? Must I go back into my mother's womb and be born all over again? He said, no, you are made of a soul and a body and a spirit. Your spirit man is dead because of the sin of Adam and Eve years and years ago. Your spirit man comes alive when you ask Jesus Christ to come inside your heart and life and remove sin from you and forgive you of sin and say, be my Lord, be my God, be my Savior. I cannot save myself. I need you, Lord, to unlock this door. I open the door of my heart up to you, Lord, and I say, come unto me, take sin from me, forgive me, cleanse me. And the good news is the Bible says all those who call upon the name of the Lord, all shall be saved. God turns down nobody to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Nobody who asks for forgiveness and asks for Christ in their hearts. So while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed today, if you want to be prayed for this morning to receive Christ and perhaps for the first time in your life or give your heart back to God again, would you please raise one hand right now to God is real high. Anybody else? Anyone else in the middle? I see you in the middle on the right-hand side over here. Anyone else? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Let's all stand to our feet now, please. Let's stand up. And I'm going to again have prayer partners that are here. Just come and stand, if you would, please, over here to the right, to my right, your left. We need about three or four to stand over here, perhaps, that are prayer partners. Those folks whose hands were raised up, make sure you find one of these guys to go to before the service is over and pray with them. You can come right now. You can come later on. But please go to a prayer partner. They're going to be able to pray with you, talk to you. We're going to see you seal what your hand has said today. I want to receive Christ as Savior. I want to get my heart right with God today. Let's go on beyond this now and pray for just a little bit about God putting inside of us a heart of thanksgiving and gratitude. Father, we are so thankful, O God, this day, first of all, for salvation that comes by the blood of Jesus. We also thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit that lives in us, who are called the temples of the Lord. But also, Father God, we're thankful for all the friends you give us, our wife, our husband, our children, our grandchildren, our family members, oh God, the job we have, the house we live in, the car we drive, all the things, oh God, that's come from your hand. We give praise and thanks, oh God, to you for the goodness displayed to us every single day we wake up. And Father God, we say from this day on, we shall rise up in the morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and I will be glad in this day. I say, Father God, take all entitlement from me. Help me, Lord, be one who always gives thanks and praise and is great and is full of gratitude for the goodness of God in the land of the living. Because, Lord, your word says, I would have fainted unless I'd believed in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we are in the living right now, and I say, Father God, by your grace and spirit, help us, God, have hearts full of gratitude. From this day forth, even more so, in Jesus' name. Father, forgive us for grumbling, complaining, griping, being ungrateful. Let us, O God, be those who say, I'm going to have a gracious heart and mouth. In Jesus' wonderful name. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to have Linda Watson help us out today to dismiss us in prayer in a moment. The microphone's right here on the front here by her purse, if you get that, please. If you guys can, come back this Wednesday night. We're going to go on to another teaching in the series on heroes of the Bible. So please come back to that if you can do that. And also, again, remember that we're having events going on in July, latter part of this month here, to think about If you're a young married couple, you're all invited to go meet for lunch after service here as well with Kristen and Jeremy, those that are going to that. May God bless you this week. May God use all of you for his glory. We love you folks. Appreciate you guys and know that God is doing good things in this place and you guys, and God wants to do it through you guys even more and more this week. God bless you. Have a good week here. See all you guys back here, I hope, in a few days as well. Thank you. Thank you, Linda.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this word. Lord, we thank you for just being you. Help us this week, Lord, as we go about our days, Lord, to be, you know, just show us, Lord. Show us to be grateful. Show us things that we should be grateful for. Protect us this week as we go to work or about our days, Lord. We just thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.